Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio. Where you're listening is our business. I'm Brian McKellen. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. The University of California, San Diego, says that the whole eye transplant seems innovative, if not impossible. The U.S. Department of Defense gave the UCSD School of Medicine researchers a $1 million grant. That grant went towards current research, hoping to make whole eye transplantation a reality. The whole eye transplant is a simple idea. Doctors would implant the donor eye into the recipient's eye socket, and the eye's re-established blood vessel and muscular systems would enable the sensory organs' normal movement. But one challenge of the whole eye transplant would be creating effective methods for reconnecting the eye's nerve cell wiring to the brain. Dr. Jeffrey Goldberg is a professor of ophthalmology and director of research at the University of California, San Diego's Shiley Eye Center. He's the grant co-recipient of the Department of Defense Transplant Project. Dr. Goldberg joins us to talk about the new eye transplant project and its challenges and benefits. Dr. Goldberg, welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind.
Oh, thank you for having me, Brian.
Let's first get to know you. You work at UC San Diego's Shiley Eye Center. What motivated you to study ophthalmology and become both a university professor and director of research?
Oh, well, ophthalmology is a really great field to be in. It's an area of medicine with a lot of innovation. It's an area of medicine where we can do a lot to help our patients. But it's also an area of medicine where we have a lot of challenges still to solve, a lot of diseases that are still blinding that we don't have solutions for. So for somebody like me who's interested both in helping patients in the clinic, but also contributing on a research level to innovative new approaches to try to fix some of the diseases that we don't have solutions for right now, ophthalmology is a really great field. In terms of coming to UC San Diego, this Shiley Eye Center Department of Ophthalmology is a really fantastic department. It's one of the most highly research-funded departments of ophthalmology in the nation. It has a very strong history of fostering clinician-scientist development. And the university more broadly is also a very strong research institution, always ranking in the top few U.S. universities for research funding, for research innovation. So for all of those reasons, this really made sense as a great place to bring my research interests.
And speaking of research, you're working on the whole eye transplant. How did the idea for the transplant come about?
Well, the idea has actually been around for over 100 years. And of course, the idea of transplanting different organs in the body has, of course, come to fruition. And we do liver transplants and kidney transplants. And so the idea of doing an eye transplant to try to fix blindness, you might say, well, that's just one other organ. And in fact, it's been thought about and addressed and even worked on experimentally at a little bit of a lower level, let's say, a sort of introductory level over the years. I got into this question because I've been studying optic nerve regeneration and the survival of the cells in the eye, of the retinal neurons, and particularly of the cells in the retina called retinal ganglion cells. And these are the cells that project from the eye through the optic nerve and carry all the visual information back to the brain. And just like after a spinal cord injury, there's no regenerative growth and paralysis is permanent. The same is true in the optic nerve, which is also part of what we call the central nervous system. Normally, after optic nerve injury or in degenerative diseases of the optic nerve, there's also no regeneration, and any vision loss is permanent. And that's the field that I've been studying for the last 15, 20 years now. And it turns out, when I was talking to colleagues around the country, and they were raising this idea of doing, you know, sort of trying to bring back to research this idea of doing whole eye transplant, it turns out that the biggest scientific challenge for whole eye transplant is getting those optic nerve fibers to regenerate from the donor eye back into the recipient patient's brain. And that's kind of the very field that I've been working on, albeit not in the context of eye transplant. So when colleagues, particularly at University of Pittsburgh, University of Chicago, and Children's Hospital of Boston, which is one of the Harvard-affiliated hospitals, when some of my colleagues at each of those institutions, when we all started talking about it, that's what really led to the idea of launching a real effort towards making this, seeing if we can make this a reality.
Yes, and you mentioned one of the great challenges of this project, which is focus. And that focus is where you devise the effective methods for reconnecting the eye's nerve cell wiring into the brain. What are some of the new methods being discussed, though, and are being put into practice to evolve the whole eye transplant procedure?
Well, beyond just addressing getting the fibers to grow from the eye into the right targets of the brain, which, as I said, is scientifically really one of the biggest parts of that challenge, there are a number of other issues too. You know, you have to hook up the muscles that move the eye. You have to hook up all the tiny little blood vessels. You have to think about the immune system of the patient not rejecting or their immune system not damaging the donor eye tissues in any way. So there are actually a lot of issues that come into play. And what we've done to try to get at all of those issues is assemble a broader team of people, each of whom has expertise and is really a leader in one or more of those areas. So we've extended our group of professors around the country to include people who are really focused on the survival of the cells in the eye, a few people who are really focused on the regeneration part of the fibers, like I talked about, but also some of the really world's leading experts in whole organ transplant, and some of the world's leading experts in the immune system's responses in whole organ transplant.
You and the researchers helped secure that very important $1 million grant from the U.S. Department of Defense to fund the project. How did you and the researchers secure that grant?
Well, we had been talking about initiating this research program for about a year prior to securing that grant. That particular grant you're referring to is shared by the University of Pittsburgh, by UCSD, my institution, and by Children's Hospital of Boston, where Larry Benowitz is also one of the really leading researchers on optic nerve regeneration and retinal cell survival research. It took about 6 months or more in just planning out how are we going to sort of devise this grant, what were we going to propose to begin as the first steps in our research, putting together the grant, gathering preliminary data. Here, our colleague Kia Washington, a professor at Pittsburgh, really devised for the first time a rodent model of doing eye transplant. This was really the first successful model of that type in a small animal, which is an important step forward because it really allows us to study at a detail level a lot of the questions that we wanted to get into. And then we applied through the regular mechanisms. The Department of Defense runs a congressionally directed medical research program, and part of that program each year is focused on eye research. And of course, the Department of Defense has a particular interest in either its active soldiers or its veterans. And when it comes to eye research, there's a lot of battlefield trauma and vision loss due to trauma that really doesn't have any treatments. So the Department of Defense, I imagine, was particularly interested in seeing whether eye transplant could be a path towards restoring vision in, for example, after battlefield trauma. It turns out that there are also so many other diseases and so many other causes of blindness that could also be addressed, and I'm sure that they saw that the DOD vision research program staff appreciated that the spin-offs from going for a really high goal like whole eye transplant, some of the spin-offs in promoting survival and regeneration could also be relevant in so many other diseases as well. For that mechanism, we assembled this grant application, and we were fortunate enough that the reviewers and staff members at the Department of Defense smiled on the idea of this innovative program.
Wow, that's great. And if the whole eye transplants are successful, the researchers are suggesting that the procedures may indeed restore sight to numbers of blind patients with eye function or structure problems. Now we're getting into the benefits here. But what are the limitations of that?
Well, first of all, in the best case scenario, we have to remember that eye transplant would not be a good approach for someone who is low vision in one eye or has blurry vision but can still sort of tell where the doorway is, doesn't bump into the furniture. This would really apply to people who are severely bilaterally blind, at least to start. And the reason is that we have to remember, when you talk about doing an eye transplant, you have to remove the patient's eye to start. And you would certainly never want to remove an eye that sees. So this can't really, at least to start, this couldn't really be applied to a person who's got, you know, a blurry but still can see out of that eye, because you wouldn't want to take out a seeing eye like that. So that's an important thing to remember. We're talking about, at least to start, a best case scenario of developing something for people who are severely bilaterally blind, blind in both eyes, at least as a starting point. And part of the reason also for that is that, according to our preclinical data on optic nerve regeneration, it would be expected to take a really long time, not on the scale of days to weeks or even months, but really on the scale of years, to really regenerate that vision. On the scale of months to years, to regain vision after an eye transplant. It turns out it just takes a while for these fibers to grow when they're regenerating.
How might the whole eye transplant benefit me if my vision gets worse with glaucoma?
Yeah, so glaucoma damages the connection from the eye to the brain, the optic nerve. And so if someone were really, again, completely blind in both eyes from glaucoma, where their optic nerves have completely degenerated, one could think about an eye transplant where you put in a new eye with healthy optic nerve fibers and then coax those nerve fibers to grow back into the brain and start carrying all that vision back to the brain again. But the same treatments that could coax those nerve fibers in the donor eye to regenerate back to the brain, the same treatments, the molecules, the gene therapies, the drugs, whatever they turn out to be, those same treatments could potentially be applied, could potentially be applied to patients with glaucoma, for example, where instead of doing the eye transplant, we just give you those drugs or genes or molecules, those therapies, and try to get your own optic nerve fibers to survive and regenerate and get a healthier connection from your eye to your brain.
So we've got a listener question here, Dr. Goldberg. Here's what it says. My name is Daniel in Maryland. Would the eye transplant help individuals with congenital glaucoma who also have Coats disease? I was born with glaucoma and am legally blind in both eyes, as well as have developed Coats disease in one of my eyes. What do you have to say for Daniel?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. And whether you have congenital glaucoma or are born with other diseases where the optic nerve is injured or never develops properly, for example, there's a disease called optic nerve hypoplasia where the fibers from the eye to the brain never form fully in the first place. Diseases like that could also plausibly be candidates for either eye transplant or for some of the therapies that might spin out in reaching for whole eye transplant. I want to emphasize, as both you and many of your listeners have severe eye disease themselves and struggle with low vision, I want to emphasize that these are the early stages of research. And in the best case scenarios, research still moves much more slowly than we as physicians or certainly our patients hope that it would. And I want to emphasize that we are on the scale of years to a decade away from being able to really bring any such testing that would grow out of this research into the earliest phases of human testing. We're just on the cusp of the earliest phases of human testing of regenerative therapies, but this kind of work that's going to come out of the whole eye transplant research program, this kind of work is going to be many years in coming before it's ready for your listeners or my patients.
Beth in Virginia, one of our other listeners, writes, having become totally blind at the end of my first year of life due to ROP, I wonder if there is any way of obtaining some vision. I hope that the prior notion of the impossibility of this idea due to the thought that the brain cannot learn to see after so little visual stimulation is no longer accepted. How do you respond to Beth's question here?
Well, Beth asks a great question, and it's not unlike the prior listener's question in that both of them lost vision very early in life. And when one loses vision very early in life and doesn't get the connections from the eye to the brain sorted out in the first few years of life, then the brain normally is not that receptive to trying to deal with improved vision later. And that's why in some of the correctable congenital diseases, diseases of, when you're born or in your early childhood, even if we correct them too late, the patients never regain vision. And it's understood that that's because the brain doesn't kind of know what to do with that vision if it didn't learn how to use it early in life. But I want to emphasize for Beth and your other callers who may have lost vision for any reason during early life, during, you know, as a baby or as a very early child, that not only are vision-restoring therapies making progress in moving from the laboratory into the clinic, but as a field, we've also discovered some of the molecular pathways that shut down the brain's ability to receive new information and learn how to use restored vision later in life. And in animal models where you deprive the animal of vision early in life and then give it back later, normally, just like us, the animals don't see well. They don't know, their brain doesn't know what to do with that information. They can't process it properly. But using some of these new molecular therapies that have been discovered, we can now get animals to make sense of that restored vision and see better. And this is research in an area called critical period plasticity. It's basically extending the period that the brain can be plastic and learn how to use this restored new information. And so I believe that actually in the next few years, a few of these new therapies will come towards human testing. And the area where they'll probably get tested first is going to be amblyopia. And this is the disease, the name of the disease state that we call it, when people during early childhood either didn't have good vision or maybe had a disease process that was degrading their vision and their brains didn't learn how to use vision in what we normally would say is a permanent way. But I think that we're going to start to see treatments for amblyopia and other causes of early childhood vision loss or vision deprivation. I think we're going to start to see those treatments come to human testing also in these next few years. We're in a very exciting period in that regard.
So how might our listeners check out more information on the whole eye transplant?
Great resources are available online, both from foundations that support the specific diseases that a patient might have. Also from the National Eye Institute, which maintains a very informative and I think a patient digestible information on the National Eye Institute's website. And also there's a public website called clinicaltrials.gov. And at clinicaltrials.gov, that's a registry of every clinical trial going on in the United States. And there are similar registries, of course, for Europe and other places around the world. But in the United States, clinicaltrials.gov is a great resource. And you can search on that website, and you could type in your disease, and you could type in other words that you want to search for, like regeneration or restore vision, or just browse through the trials that are happening in your disease area. Ultimately, of course, not everyone can participate in clinical trials. It tends to be a very narrow subset of people who can. But that's okay, because as soon as a treatment is proven effective, that's when the word really gets out to all of the patients. And it becomes available everywhere locally and not just in a few centers around the country or around the world. So keeping your eye on those resources, I think, is a really critical opportunity for patients or listeners who are interested in following along on the research side.
Dr. Goldberg, the whole eye transplant might just give our listeners the gift of sight. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Brian. Thanks very much for having me.
Before we go, let me give our listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
With the tagline of, you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, cooking in the dark will leave your mouth watering. Hosts Dale and Cheryl serve up a plethora of tasty treats and delectable dishes topped off with a healthy garnish of humor on a weekly basis. To view the complete archive of Cooking in the Dark programs, please visit www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. We leave you with a montage of prior Cooking in the Dark episodes.
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce to you the man who proves to us every week that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Campbell.
Man, hidey-ho. We're going to have to get something up to keep these rambunctious people out of the kitchen. We're going to start off with the honey chicken wings. Let's turn our attention to this delicious 21st century macaroni and cheese. Salmon croquettes. I'm also going to tell you how to make either a killer red sauce or a very delicious herb tartar.
Join Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings for Cooking in the Dark. Cooking in the Dark is heard Saturdays on ACB Radio Mainstream at 10 p.m. Eastern, repeating every 2 hours through Sunday.